Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot-selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want that to be light, we want that to be portable, and this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
This is Tech Guide episode 26. Great to be with you again. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. Lots going on this week, and we'll kick it off with the new TCL smart TV that's taking on the big brands. We'll also check out Google Maps and their welcome reappearance on the iPhone, and Microsoft's Surface tablet is starting to appear in stores. In other news, the Sydney Opera House goes high tech, the recruitment site that matches workers with jobs just like it would a dating site. And Google reveals its top searches for 2012. This week we've got another interview. This time we will talk with Netgear's Brad Little about the increasing importance of our wireless networks before we wrap that all up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. Plenty to talk about right here on Tech Guide. Well, let's kick it off with a review, first of all. The new brand that's coming out of China called TCL. I wrote about this company earlier in the year and their efforts in establishing themselves here in Australia. Now, a little bit of background about TCL. As I mentioned, they're a Chinese company. They happen to be China's number one television brand, and China being quite a market. They've actually just opened a new factory in Shenzhen. And that's just a factory that they've built in partnership with Samsung, which happens to be the world's number one TV brand. Now, the challenge they faced coming into Australia was the trying to shed the Made in China tag. Now, people associated products made in China with lower quality. Now, TCL had to sort of battle that image and have done a really good job, actually, in establishing themselves here in Australia. They've just set up a new retail partnership with Harvey Norman to extend their retail footprint to include, apart from Harvey Norman, The Good Guys, Bing Lee, A Better Electrical, amongst others. And on the strength of that, these companies aren't going to accept a product that's below par. So TCL's bid here is to become kind of the fifth big brand after the big four. You know, you got Sony, Panasonic, LG, and Samsung. That's what we call the big four. TCL are making a big effort to become the fifth brand for people to consider. And we've taken a look at the TCL 55-inch V7300 series smart TV. And I have to say that just right off the bat, the quality of this TV was evident even when I was unpacking it out of the box. This is a very well put together television, nothing cheap or nasty. It looked actually very high quality, brushed aluminium finish, quite thin, LED technology, the latest TV technology, edge lit display, looked actually quite nice, very thin frame, thin bezel, clear triangular stem and a glass stand. Looked actually quite good, and I hadn't even turned the TV on. It looks pretty cool. But the good news is that when I did turn the TV on, picture quality was surprisingly good. And this is a full high-definition TV that had surprisingly good contrast. It's listed as 24,000:1. And in watching full HD channels, free-to-air, as well as watching some Blu-rays, the picture quality was nice and sharp. Plenty of detail, really good contrast, really good black levels, quite impressive black levels, and just a lot of great clarity. Standard definition, there was some graininess in the picture, but that probably is a result of the broadcast rather than the actual TV itself. It's also a 3D TV. It's an active 3D TV, so it uses active glasses. Downside is only one pair of glasses come in the box. If you need to get any more, they're $59 a pair. And the 3D playback was equally impressive. HD, not much crosstalk, only slight blurring in the background of some scenes, but nothing that many people would even notice. So it's a good all-round picture quality and performance there. It's also a smart TV, of course, so it's connected television, so you can access things like apps, like they've got a Yahoo widget for news, sport and weather and things like that. It's also got Facebook, Twitter connectivity there. You can also view YouTube videos, and it's also got an Opera web browser in case you want to browse the internet. The most impressive thing about this TV, I think, is the value. Now, it doesn't have those big-name brands on the front of this thing. So TCL, for some listeners, at least this may be the first time they've ever heard of them. But despite them not having the big brand power of these other companies, I have to say it's more than holds its own against these other brands in terms of picture quality. As I said, picture quality would be equal in the same ballpark as some of these bigger-name companies. And in terms of feature sets, you know, it's got your smart TV connectivity, 3D, great picture quality. The main boxes are ticked. What it doesn't have is sort of the smart gestures, that kind of interaction that some of the other more expensive TVs like the Samsungs, like what they pack right out of the box. But a lot of users, these sort of gimmicky new features aren't really a deal breaker if they don't have them. The TCL comes in at $1,599. That's $1,599. And similar size 55-inch TVs are more than double the price of this. So well worth a look if you're in the market for a new TV. You want a good value TV, I think, as I said, matches the other big-name players in terms of picture quality and features, and easily beats them, though, in terms of value. You're getting a lot of bang for your buck here, a lot of TV for your money. $15.99, that's for the 55-inch. They've also got a 46-inch, that's $12.99, and that's the recommended retail price. You may even do better than that in store. TCL, I was very impressed with this. I think you're going to be hearing a lot about this brand in the future. If you're in the market for a smart TV with a great picture quality, that it has even got that smart TV connectivity, I think this should be, deserves consideration. I've put a full review on Tech Guide. I've actually given it 4.5 stars out of 5, and I don't give them out lightly. I was very impressed with this TV. It provided all the three big things for me was quality, features, and value, and that goes a long way. But if you want to read that full review, you can at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Now, I'd love a dollar for every person I've heard grumbling about Apple Maps and how they miss the Google Maps. Now, as we all know, iOS 6 was the update that effectively removed Google Maps off the iPhone, and also the YouTube app, by the way, too, and replaced the mapping with Apple's very own Maps application. Now, when we were first introduced to Maps, they were very impressive with their 3D flyover, and you know, they looked really pretty and looked very impressive. But when we got down to it, the mapping system was left a lot to be desired. When Apple decided to replace the quite good Google Maps app off the iPhone, we fully expected an app to be better than what it replaced. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case, so much so Tim Cook, the Apple CEO, came out and even issued an apology to customers a few months back, saying that they were embarrassed by this, and they're obviously working very hard to improve the mapping system. It was only last week, actually, where a family was directed, they were on there, they wanted to go to Mildura, but were directed a 70 kilometres in the wrong direction and ended up in the middle of a national park in searing heat. So this was yet another headline Apple didn't want to see. But after all of that is said and done, Google Maps is back. The app has been released now for iPhone, and Apple has allowed it. They've greenlit the app, and you can now get Google Maps back on your phone. You can't delete the old Apple Maps because it's part of the app. It's a startup app on the phone. You cannot delete it off your iPhone. But the good news is you can bring back Google Maps. And Google Maps is actually, it's a better product than what it was before. It's got turn-by-turn navigation, improved mapping system, and can be downloaded for free, of course, from the App Store. It's got also live traffic information, and you can even look at 360 panoramas with their street view. You know, you can like as if you're standing right there on the street. That's all been brought into the app. Google Maps is back. A lot of people were happy about that. you can download it for free if you're one of these people who relies on their maps. And there were a lot of people who were a bit worried having to rely on the Apple Maps. It wasn't as accurate as we'd imagined or we hoped. So Google Maps is back. And if you do need your mapping solution and you don't have a dedicated TomTom or Navman or even one of those companies' apps on your iPhone, the good news is Google Maps can literally steer you back in the right direction. Now, Microsoft have been making a lot of noise of late with the new Surface tablet. We saw this for the first time a number of months ago. It really set the tech world abuzz with this appearance of this really sleek tablet from Microsoft. And it was running what we thought was going to be running Windows 8. It's actually running an operating system called Windows RT, which is kind of like Windows 8 Lite. And what was happening with the Surface? It initially went on sale a couple of weeks ago, but only went on sale online. You can only buy it through the Microsoft Store, which I think was a very strange choice for Microsoft, is that they wanted to make a big noise with the Microsoft Surface. And I'm sure you've seen so many of the TV ads. They did a bit of a TV blitz with the Surface commercials on the TV. I thought they would have come out with all guns blazing with this product rather than trying to sell it through a single channel through the Microsoft website. But the good news is they've decided to continue or to start Microsoft sales through retail. Australian retailers by mid-December, which is right now, the companies Harvey Norman and JB Hi-Fi will be offering Microsoft Surface in store. And what better way to get your hands on the product, to touch and feel it? Usually that is is all it takes to make that sale in store, as is seen with a lot of Apple products. People, once they get them in their hands in the store, which is why Apple stores are so crowded, people have got their hands on these products, and chances are once they do get their hands on these products, they want to buy them. Microsoft obviously will be hoping for the same kind of effect with the Microsoft Surface. I haven't reviewed it fully. I've held one in my hand and had a bit of a play. It's got a really nice responsive touchscreen, running Windows RT, which is not the full version of Windows 8, but close enough to it. I think next year there's going to be the Surface Pro, which I think is going to have Windows 8, the full version running. Now, the tablet itself has got a kickstand, so you can easily rest it on a flat surface. It's also got a cover, which not only protects the screen, but it's also got a built-in keyboard. So you can be using it, tapping away, being as productive as you want. So turning this almost into a laptop setup. But you can check that out now in the flesh at either Harvey Norman or JB Hi-Fi. And I think this one's going to be a bit of a slow burn. I think this is the sort of product that is obviously not going to rush off the shelves like the iPad. But I think for Windows users, this is probably one of the first Microsoft really slick tablet devices, Windows 8 devices made by Microsoft themselves. And as you know, normally usually a software company, they do produce hardware like mice and keyboards and things like that, but the fact they've gone to the trouble of making a tablet of this kind, I think, is something we should all take notice of. So if you want to check that out in person, be sure to head down to your Harvey Norman or JB Hi-Fi store.
Now, a Tech Guide news update.
The Sydney Opera House, one of the most famous buildings in the world, certainly a definite tourist attraction for anyone who comes down here to Sydney, is very well known around the world, of course. And it's not just a pretty building. There's also performances that happen inside. It's not called the Opera House for nothing. There's concerts, plays, all kinds of events going on inside the famous shell-like structure. But there was some news earlier this week that revealed the Sydney Opera House has made a bit of a partnership with YouTube. So what they're going to do is actually stream live performances on YouTube. They signed a 2-year partnership agreement, so that's the Sydney Opera House and YouTube. And under the new deal, which will last for 2 years, there will be 20 live performances. So if you can't get there in person, you can actually view one of these events live, streamed live onto YouTube. Now, they tried this last year with a performance earlier this year, I think it was, during Vivid Live, and there was a Temper Trap concert which was streamed across YouTube, and it had more than 296,000 views, which is actually more than 100 times the capacity of the Sydney Opera House Concert Hall. So it's not a matter of them selling, only restricting the performance to the people who want to be there in person. They're going to extend the reach of the Sydney Opera House to anyone, not only in Australia, but also around the world. So they've actually set up their own Sydney Opera House YouTube channel, which will go live in early 2013. But it's just another example of the old meets the new. These live performances, which will still continue. Of course, people will prefer to be sitting in the audience rather than sitting in front of a computer. But for those who can't make it, who by fact of geography, they're not in Sydney, or they just couldn't get a ticket to the concert or the performance, can now tune into YouTube. I think this is a great idea and something we need to see a lot more of. It's good to see the grand old Sydney Opera House embracing the future. Now, if anyone who knows the job market can be a little bit of a frustrating one if they're looking for a job and searching on various sites and trying to get the job that suits them. A new website's been launched, a new recruitment site's been launched called OneShift. Now, this is a site that specializes in recruiting for casual workers, short-term job seekers, and works a little bit like a dating site. I actually met the managing director of the site, Genevieve George, and she told me that she got the idea for this site when she was traveling through Europe. She wanted to fund her travels using looking for short-term jobs, so obviously she wanted to cover her costs. And she thought, well, there's a real untapped market here for sites that deal with just those short-term casual employers and those positions. So she took it upon herself once she got back to Australia to set up OneShift. And already it's attracted more than 35,000 job candidates and more than 2,500 and businesses are already on the database who are looking for employees. Now, how it works, it allows the users to be matched to jobs that suit them, kind of like you list your preferences, you know, like on a dating site, you list your preferences of what you're looking for, who you are, what you can bring to the table. It kind of uses that same algorithm here to match employees to employers. And how it works is that employers pay a fee, I think it's $22, and they get a chance to interview three different people for the one position. Employees, of course, this is a free service, so they can not only upload their resume, but they can also supplement that with even a video of themselves so that right off the bat an employer can see how they present themselves, get a sense of their personality, and get one step closer to filling that position that they want filled. Some facts that were sent over about OneShift: the oldest employee looking for work on the site is 78 years old, youngest employee is 14 years and 9 months. Most popular category on OneShift for most popular industry is hospitality and retail. And the most unusual job on the site, if you're a candidate for this job, is lingerie modeling. Maybe a few candidates for that. But OneShift, great way to match casual short-term employees with the job that's right for them. If you want to check it out yourself, it's oneshift.com.au. That's O-N-E, oneshift.com.au. I've also written a story about it at techguide.com.au.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, always at this time of year, we're getting towards Christmas and towards the end of another year, Google released their annual top searches for the year. And in 2012, there were some predictable results, but also a couple of surprising results. The most searched for and widely viewed thing on Google was our Korean pop star friend Psy and Gangnam Style. This YouTube, obviously also owned by Google, has been viewed nearly 950 million times. It's closing in on a billion views. It is now the most viewed video on YouTube by a long way. Other big searches for 2012 was The Voice. The TV show was a real hit for Channel 9. Also, of course, the Olympics. The Olympic was Olympic year this year, and the London Olympics also had its fair share of searches as well. But we also used YouTube not only to search for individual things, but also finding out about news and people, trending news events. Some of the big searches included searches around Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks founder, Felix Baumgartner, the Austrian who leapt from the edge of space. And there were also a few people looking up information about the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. In celebrity searches, would you believe Lara Bingle attracted more searches? The Aussie model, Lara Bingle, where the bloody hell are you, Lara Bingle, attracted more searches than Australian supermodel Miranda Kerr. This may be a result of Lara Bingle having her own reality show on Channel 10. A bit of curiosity there. People wanting to find out a little bit more information. Kate Middleton, also Prince William's new bride, also attracted a lot of searches, as did Whitney Houston after her tragic death earlier this year. In sports, Lance Armstrong and his drug controversy was the most widely searched sport topic. And, of course, Usain Bolt coming in second, something not he's not used to, but on Google he was second to Lance Armstrong in terms of searches. Also, our own Aussie Olympian, Stephanie Rice, was actually the most popular Australian Olympian to be searched, followed by Sally Pearson. Sally Pearson winning a gold medal still came second to Stephanie Rice, our glamour girl in the pool, who failed to win a medal this time around, but still attracted a lot of interest from our Google searches. I've put a full list of all of those searches, including the most searched TV shows, the top lyric searches, global celebrities, celebrity deaths, people, Australian news moments, images, local attractions. You can find all of them at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
This week, we've got the interviews back. We haven't had an interview for a few weeks, but we are back this week. We spoke to Brad Little, the Senior Director of Consumer Channels at Netgear, about the demands we're placing on our Wi-Fi network with products like tablets and smartphones, plus also the way we're moving a lot of content wirelessly between devices within our home. And, of course, Netgear has responded to those demands, and their products reflect those trends and make it easier for us to connect. So here's what Brad had to say when we caught up earlier.
Well, Brad, thanks for joining us. We couldn't talk with someone from Netgear without talking about Wi-Fi. That's the bread and butter of the company. Now, we're using Wi-Fi in quite a different way today, aren't we?
Yeah, look, the amount of Wi-Fi devices in our houses and what we use Wi-Fi for now is changing every day and growing at an absolutely huge rate. You know, a couple of years ago, Wi-Fi was the domain of browsing the internet on a single PC in the home. But now what we're seeing is, with the boom of tablets and smartphones and game consoles, in fact, 60%, two-thirds of all electronic devices in the home are now have some form of Wi-Fi that can connect back to your home network.
Now that's quite some growth, isn't it? Like even a couple of years ago, there wasn't half as many almost the Wi-Fi devices. Now we've got, like you said, tablets and smart TVs and other things like this. And we're also using these in different parts of the house, sharing content. How's that affected the business?
Yeah, so smartphones and tablets are probably the most exciting, aspect of that, because it's really helped us take content that was generally fixed to a computer or a fixed point in the home, and we can now enjoy all of those experiences where we want to enjoy them most. So that might mean streaming the cricket on the iPad while you're sitting out in the backyard having a barbecue. It might be enjoying movie night more often upstairs. It really helps us move content around the home further and farther, and you know we get to enjoy the most out of all of our digital gadgets.
So it's not just simply a matter of just let's connect computer A to the internet. It's more of actually using and sharing content within the home that's become part of what Netgear offers with their products.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, now let's look forward now. You've introduced 802.11 AC. There aren't many devices with AC at the moment, but obviously in the future there will be. What's the outlook for 2013 and beyond?
So 802.11ac, as you mentioned, is the next generation of Wi-Fi, and in essence, it offers up to three times the speed and bandwidth and coverage of today's Wi-Fi equipment. So with that massive boom of all of those digital devices and smartphones and tablets, which are scattered throughout the home now, 802.11ac is that standard of Wi-Fi that will make sure that we can deliver all that coverage and all that content seamlessly and perfectly throughout the house.
Okay, you mentioned sort of us using our devices around the home. The fact, I think, we mentioned earlier tablets, how popular they are. Tablets, unlike the old days where you sat at your desktop and you had an internet connection, you can take your tablet anywhere in your home now, and for many people, the signal, the Wi-Fi strength in that part of the house isn't the best. And your booster products naturally have been very popular because of this fact. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So 802.11ac, to begin with, for a new customer or somebody looking to upgrade the heart of their network at the moment, is a great solution to improve that experience throughout the home. However, there's a lot of people, there's a very large install base where people already have a reasonably modern Wi-Fi router or they're reasonably happy with the Wi-Fi coverage in the house. It just so happens, however, there might be one dead spot, which may be the kitchen or the backyard or unique point in the house. And what our range of Wi-Fi range extenders do is they will create a little hotspot in that weak point in your Wi-Fi network. So the installation is as simple as purchasing a device from your retailer, walking into that dead spot or close to that dead spot, plugging it into a wall point, and then what it'll do, it'll find your existing Wi-Fi network and then it'll boost the coverage to improve your coverage in that one point of the house that where Wi-Fi struggles.
You mentioned ease of use. That's obviously something that customers would favour. Now, I understand, and I've used this myself, the Netgear Genie app is also very helpful for setting up those new products, monitoring your wireless network. Tell us a bit about that.
So Netgear Genie, I suppose in conjunction with all these leaps forward in technology and performance and features, generally there's an inherent increase in complexity and setting up all of these products. So what we've done is we've created a platform called Netgear Genie, which is a very simple platform which helps you set up, configure, manage and maintain not only your network but a lot of all your digital devices. So Netgear Genie at the heart of your network will troubleshoot any internet problems you may have. It'll help you stream content from be it a hard drive that might be connected to your router to a tablet or a TV, right through to converting a standard printer into a printer that may be AirPrint compatible.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's look into the crystal ball a bit, Brad. 2013 is nearly upon us. The Consumer Electronics Show is only a month away. Netgear obviously always have a presence there at CES. Can you give us a sneak peek? What are we going to see in 2013?
So 802.11ac is probably where Wi-Fi will continue to extend, and that'll be really driven as devices, so smartphones, tablets, and computers start to adopt that technology internally. So what we'll start to see is not necessarily just big leap forwards in Wi-Fi itself, but the devices themselves will start to excite. So with 802.11ac, we're talking about improved battery life, we're talking smaller form factors. So we'll start to see a lot of exciting devices that can attach to Wi-Fi and CES.
And no doubt our appetite for Wi-Fi can only increase given the figures that we've just looked at here from GFK. So Netgear seems to be in a really good position.
Yeah, we have. We are. We've had a very successful few years in Australia. We're definitely invested in innovation and growth to continue that drive and help people connect to what matters to them most.
No worries. Thanks for joining us, Brad.
Thanks.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, one question we get asked fairly often here, and it's since the new iPhone, the iPhone 5, the new iPod Touch, the new iPod Nano, which is sporting the new Thunderbolt connection. There's people still, would you believe, quite hesitant to adopt these new devices because they own maybe a speaker dock or other peripherals and accessories that fit in with the old 30-pin dock connector that's still part of the iPhone 4S, the older iPods and older iPhones. But one question we had, though, was how do we – like, there's a person who emailed us here at Tech Guide at the forum asking – He wants to buy the new iPod, the fifth generation iPod with the Lightning dock connector, but how do I connect it to a pair of speakers? Now, there are several ways to connect an iPod or an iPhone, for that matter, to an iPod dock. Now, it isn't necessarily physically connected to the device. Now, there will be some docks that will adapt the new Lightning connector, they will be on the market. In fact, some of them are starting to appear right now. But if you do have an existing set of a speaker dock or a product that you still want to use with the iPhone 5 or the iPod 5th gen as well, you can do one of four things. The first would be to obviously buy an adapter. There is an adapter to go from the Lightning dock connector to your normal 30-pin traditional larger dock connector, so that will then fit in with your older speaker dock. But the other thing to look at too, and this is becoming a more popular trend now with speaker docks and speakers in general, is the fact that a lot of them are wireless compatible now. They can stream music wirelessly. So the iPhone 5, of course, has Wi-Fi, has a little a technology called AirPlay. A lot of speakers with that are AirPlay compatible, so there's no need to physically connect the device. You can stream your music through via Wi-Fi, direct connection to the speakers, and you can hear your music as clear as it would be if it was physically connected to the dock. But another wireless technology that's also been utilized for speakers, headphones, various other products is Bluetooth. Bluetooth streaming, the iPhone 5 is compatible with that. It does have a technology called A2DP, which is the Bluetooth streaming, latest version of Bluetooth that allows music streaming. And that is yet another way to get your music from your iPhone to your speakers without actually having to physically connect the two products. But yet another way for many of the the audio speakers on the market is a connection called auxiliary in. Now, this is a connection that takes an audio cable. It's got a 3.5mm jack, so it's auxiliary in, connected to the headphone jack of a product. In most cases, it would be, for example, if you've got, an iPod dock speaker and you wanted to connect, say, an Android product or another type of product that doesn't have the Apple dock, it is possible to do that using the auxiliary in. So you take this audio cable, it's got the same sort of headphone connection on either end of the cable, connect one end to the headphone jack of the product, in this case the iPhone 5 or the iPod 5th generation, and then straight into auxiliary in, and then you can then hear your music through the speakers that way. So the fact that the iPhone 5 and the new iPod have this new smaller Lightning dock connector doesn't necessarily mean you can't hear your music even through your existing speaker system. With a bit of luck, you do have a wireless connection and you can stream it that way, but at worst, you can even use auxiliary in to still hear your tune. So despite having a new dock, you can still get your tunes out of your iPhone or iPod and hear them through your speakers. Well, that's what you paid your money for. So don't hesitate if you do want to buy an iPhone 5 or an iPod 5th generation, that new connection, don't be daunted. There'll be plenty of docks in the future with the Lightning connector. But if you do have an existing one, as I just said in this segment, there are plenty of ways to enjoy it. And that's the end of yet another show. If you need any more information about anything we spoke about today, you can find it at our website, techguide.com.au. And we also encourage people to get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at info@techguide.com.au. And you can also send us your help desk questions or any questions for that matter to the Tech Guide Forum, where myself and many of our loyal readers can jump in and hopefully solve your problem, give you the advice, and get you the information that you need. It's the last days too of the Tech Guide competition to win a 500 gigabyte PlayStation 3 console. The link is in the top right-hand corner of the homepage, so hurry up, get your entry in to win it. You may win it just in time for Christmas. Speaking of Christmas, we'd love to take this opportunity to wish all of our listeners a happy and safe festive season and a prosperous 2013. We'll be back with episode 27 in a couple of weeks after Christmas. So in the meantime, stay safe and stay connected.